if you remember, all of members, last year around November, December, we had a meeting, a joint meeting with Correctional Services to discuss about the Kimberley Correctional Services Center. And a commitment was made by Department of Public Works that the mistakes that were done there, they will never be repeated at the Brantsley Correctional Center. And according to this letter, the set date for the completion of the center has not been met. And a lot of things, same mistakes that were made in Kimberley, are occurring. To say we like the committee, if we'll be done by then, the committee, together with the Department of Public Works, to accompany Correctional Services to Brantsley Correctional Center. Because the problem that we are having is these two committees, if we visit individually, we are given different answers, and we would like to keep that. Oslydia, please bear with us. We'd like you people to join us at 12:30 to Brantsley Correctional Center. Honourable members, there are two issues to deal with today. Is the Extended Public Works Program Progress Report that we requested from the Department of Public Works, and also their analysis of SONA compared with last year's SONA. That was requested last week publicly in the portfolio meeting. That's what we're expecting. Can we start with the Extended Public Works Progress Report? Over to you, Cecilia.
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity. I apologize for the meeting.
Sorry, Cecilia. I skipped that. There are a few apologies. My apology. There's an apology from Honorable Sotole, Honorable Gayla, Honorable Gwanyamadila, the DG, the DG personally SMS'd me this morning at around 5, an apology, and also our corner who's not well. So those are the apologies, my apology. Continue.
Thank you, Chair. We have a presentation that is prepared, and we must apologize again for being late. In terms of the presentation, in terms of the presentation that we have prepared on the issues that have been presented to us by the portfolio committee, we've got the portfolio report, but if the members do not want that report, we can put it aside. We've got the information anytime when you are required to provide additional information. We've got that. We've got extensive reports on all the issues that were raised on EPWP. Then Lee Henderson will make that report. We are not ready to present on SONA. I'm aware that last week the DG sent a letter to the portfolio committee requesting that we put that issue aside. For one reason, that it is in the minister's, it is in our first plan, which is currently in the minister for minister's consideration, that will form part of the minister's budget address. So we are not in a position to present on SONA at all. The first plan is still being considered by the minister. We've also got Ayanda Wakaba from IDT to present on March 4th. We will await your guidance in terms of which of these areas we should start with.
All honorable members will beat me up. We also requested that you give us a report on 2010 SONA. SONA's report to say what have you done, what were the issues that were attended to, and what were the outstanding issues that need to be still to be attended to. So I think you should have brought us last year's SONA report of what you have done. Honourable members, I don't know if I'm in the right direction. That's what we're expecting from you. To say if you are not going to deal with this year's SONA, you should have given us a report, last year's report, to say this is what you have done.
The understanding that we had of the request last week was that we have to present to the portfolio committee what we committed to do last year in terms of SONA. And in the same presentation, we present what we intend to do based on the SONA that has been presented by the president. The letter that we wrote and the understanding that we had was that the putting aside of the report included both, because they are one report. So we did not extract our actions for last year, specifically for the meeting. We thought it was one presentation that we need to do, and in the letter we understood that we're requesting, so that if we understood that there was a possibility to separate these two issues, to present on SONA for last year, we could have done that. That was not a problem. The only problem with going forward is that that's a plan for the department for 2011-2012, and it is now for consideration by the minister.
Honorable Madoka, I'm sorry.
No, thanks, Honorable Chair. So we hear the explanation. Maybe there was a misunderstanding. The name is correctly indicated, that there was maybe a misunderstanding. But our aim is a portfolio committee, what we wanted. We wanted to know what is it that we have done so that we can prepare for this current state of the nation address that the president has presented for 2011-2012. Because if we don't know what transpired, what has been achieved, what are the challenges, it becomes difficult to prepare for the next SONA, because we must know if there were challenges, what are the mitigation strategies, to address those challenges that we have. That was our aim really as a portfolio committee, to say we want really to get an understanding, because we can't just come up with a plan of action for 2011-2012 without knowing the challenges and the achievements that we have, so that we can have a confidence on coming with a plan, knowing that these are the challenges, this is the mitigation strategy to take these challenges forward. So that was our aim. I think the change policy indicating our will really as a portfolio committee that we wanted to achieve out of this.
Thank you, Chair. I think it was especially for the new members, because I think 90% of the members of this portfolio committee are new. So we wanted to know what has been achieved and then what is still outstanding compared to the last year. Because almost all the issues that were covered by the president were in the SONA last year. So we just wanted to have a feel as to which ones were achieved, which ones were not achieved.
Thank you, all member. Sister Lydia, I even said in a very simple way, we want to compare last year with this year. Last year's delivery, to say this are our achievements and the gaps are here and how are we going to deal with them. We can't spend a lot of time on this one. I think the best thing for us right now is for you to present.
We will start with Manda on portal, followed by Cindy on EPWT, and Ayanda on math school. But we are committing, Chair, that we are going to prepare a report, send it to the portfolio committee on last year's performance, and anytime at the convenience of the portfolio committee, we can come and present it. But we will certainly prepare that.
proceed with the presentation, starting with the program and I don't remember, I think at the conceptual level, we've got to clarify that from the pronouncement of the president during the State of the Nation address, the message that came out very clear was to say that 2011-2012 financial year is the year of jobs and creating more jobs. And therefore the question that arises was to say what type of contribution is the Department of Public Works are we going to have in terms of creating jobs. So central to what we are doing is ready to deal with a matter of job creation. We also want to indicate that this approach is informed by the labor intensive methods of construction, the EPWP. So the program to fix potholes conceptually, honorable member, it is a program to fast track job creation using the labor intensive methods of construction and potholes as an institutional methodology. The commitment, therefore, is to appoint 400 beneficiaries to the metro. What we then do is that we'll approach a particular metro and say that the metro municipality should provide us with a list of 400 unemployed young people. We'll take those young people and actually train them. We'll appoint a number of contractors to the metro per district. We have already trained staff from within the department through CSIR so as to ensure that the matters of quality assurance are complied. The case study that we have, honorable members, informs us that the allocation of beneficiaries is for every kilometer that we fix, it translates to 2 work opportunities. So the metric is 1 kilometer is equal to 2 job opportunities. And the approach that the department has taken, it is to peg what is called a cycle at 90 rands for a period of 6 months, and this beneficiary is working 3 days per week. But in essence, the approach we're taking is 90 multiplied by 12 working days multiplied by 6 months. This is an equivalent of 6,480 income. Which is also translated at a monthly income of 1,080. It is important to make this point, Honorable Chairperson and members, because if you look at, for an example, the Johannesburg Road Agency, they are paying their beneficiaries 90 rand. So therefore, when we go to Johannesburg, if you go there with a lower figure, it is actually short the market. So we've been consistent in terms of the payment of beneficiaries vis-a-vis provinces. It is also important to indicate that the costing of the 2,400 work opportunities, these 2,400 work opportunities is based on the allocation of employing 400 young people per metro. So if you've got 6 metros, that translates to 2,400 work opportunities. As we've indicated, being paid an income of 6,480, this translates into 2.5 million for all the 6 metros. So therefore the remuneration for a period of 16 months will translate into 15.5 million. From this total costing, honorable members, it is deducted that because of the budget that we have, we are able to then increase the scope of work and also increase the number of working days of young people, so that instead of them working for 6 months, you can actually have them working for what is called in the EPWP terms, full-time equivalent, so that these young people therefore have got a guaranteed 100 days working opportunity for a particular financial year. So the costing that we've then done, take into consideration that we can actually increase both the scope of work in terms of fixing more potholes, and secondly, the number of beneficiaries, because of the budget that we have actually allocated. We've already signed off the launch of the program, which is likely to be in Tshwane. We're finalizing discussions with the Johannesburg Road Agency. We're also finalizing the terms of understanding with the Northwest, in particular focusing on Mafeking, and thereafter we'll then roll out the program to all the metros, to all the districts, escalating into local municipalities. And I remember that will be my intervention as far as the program to fix the problems. I'll now leave it to DDG for the policy. I mean, if it doesn't make sense.
Honourable members, before proceeding, I think we need to engage on this.
Yeah.
Honourable Madhapa.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, and thank you very much for the presentation from Mr. Matuza. I think it's really assist us to understand the plan of the department as a portfolio committee. However, Chair, I've got a question to understand what informs the department on two job creation per kilometer. What informs that? Also, Chair, I'm having a concern around the issue of the focus only on metros. As the Mr. Mabuza indicated that their focus will be on metros and come up with a total number of job creation in the metros. Hence also our priorities, rural development, we have got the districts that also are stricken by poverty, very high poverty areas. And then the others were identified as the municipalities that really need a focus and assistance. But surely the planning of the department is focusing on the metros that are regarded by the rural people as rich areas, you know. I'm not sure about those rural people in the rural municipalities. How are they going to benefit out of this? Secondly, Mr. Mabuza, you have indicated that the target of the department is at least to create a job for at least a period of 6 months for the people to have job on those particular portal areas. But I'm not sure because in phase two of the EPWP, there was a target of 100 days of work per testing per annum, including training. But where you find that there is the survey for South African Institute of Race Relations reported that the job opportunities provided under the program lasted an average of 46 days instead of 100 days. So how is the department going to increase this period to 6 months if they stay for 100 days? What is the mitigation strategy on that one after the survey that came up that we failed to meet 100 days as planned to 46 days, and now you have increased to 6 months, and I'm not hearing the strategy. That's why as a portfolio committee, in particular to us who are new in this committee and in the government, we want to really understand the planning of the government to say, how are we going to do these things, you know? So these are the questions, Chair, that I want to pose on this particular presentation, but we appreciate the presentation because it will assist. That's why, Chair, I was keen to hear the achievements of the previous targets and also understand the challenges, because I think it's one of the challenges to target 100 days for people to work and then only to find that only 46 days, which means that 1 month, you know, which is not really assisting. I understand that is not a decent job for the EPW. It's just an intervention strategy to poverty alleviation. But at the same time, if we employ a person for a month and then after that, what is happening? I think we are creating more poverty to those particular communities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Mama Gala.
Thank you, Justin. I think I'm partly covered by the last speaker, especially when it comes to the experience gained by the youth, which is going to be hired, the 400 beneficiaries from Metro. Okay, they're going to work for 6 months. What will happen after 6 months? Because the youth, they are going to gain some skills on job and on portfolio. Are they going to be considered when another job comes up again? Because the president spoke about sustainable jobs. That's my question.
Thank you. Honorable Rao Patis.
Thanks, Chair. And sorry for being late. Chairperson, especially when we are still on the EPWP, I'm very much concerned. You see, personally, I come from a rural area where there are still people who are crying that they have not yet been paid from their for what they were doing with EPWP. I even approached them and told him about it. And now my concern is the effective management of the EPWP programs on the ground. And that is not happening, especially in the rural areas. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chairperson. Some of my questions have been covered, especially the covering of the rural area, because that's where poverty is real. secondly, it's about the trains. Maybe if I can, I didn't get it correct. I mean, the training of the members of the staff by CSIR, how many are they, how are they distributed in the six metros? And then how long is going to be the training? And then how soon do you want to intend to start implementing this program of the potholes? And my last plea is about the proper implementation at local level. Really, sometimes we get these presentations and we get excited about the presentations at this level from the department. And when we go to the ground at local level, we find that these things are not happening. How are you going to make sure that this really happens? Because that's the most affected area at local level. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Domen.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chairperson, if you look specific at this program, I've got a lot of understanding for the department that they must start somewhere, and they must also start where there would be interaction only with a few municipalities. I've got a lot of understanding if they want to roll out this program at 200 municipalities, it's not going to work, so it is difficult. They must start somewhere. I would have also said the metros are well sourced and capacity and so on. I would think about the aspiring metros would be a next level, at least to look at, or rather to have start there and work to the rural areas. But I mean, we must start somewhere, and I've got a lot of understanding also that if it is temporary, at least these people are assisted over this period. But my big question just to them is the oversight of the standard of the fixing, and you know, how are you going to work that? It is a bit of a, I mean, this is intensive, where you can create jobs for unskilled people, but on the other hand, you have to look at doing it properly. And I would just like also to know, are they going to make use of local expertise of the municipalities in this regard, or is this going to be a long-standing program all on its own? And then I'll be very worried. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Domen. Honourable Mr. Mabuza, English is my third language, and I'm not a legal person. On page 3, there are 3 names. Posting it may, roads may be, budget may allow. My understanding is that once you start using the may, it says to me you are not sure of what you are saying. So here we need to have concrete, a commitment to say this is going to happen and not may. Because next time you might come back to us and say, I said we might. You know, we can't pin you down. And in your presentation, I noticed you were skipping the May, and I noticed, and that's why I said can't. Because I noticed that we're not binding yourself. Can you please try by all means to bind yourself that this will continue. And if you don't want to continue, you must say it straight away. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members, for the constructive comments and critical questions. The question that deals with why 1 kilometer, honorable members, this is the case study that was conducted in terms of the fixing of the potholes in South Africa. The only scientific methodology that you can use to inform how much you will pay for a particular beneficiary, it is going to be dependent on a kilometer and not on any other thing. It is on that basis that the case study basically says for every kilometer that you fix, it translates into two job opportunities. Why we focus on metrotrons and oversight on our side. The program focuses on 8 metros, which are 6, and you create 400 job opportunities. B is all your district municipalities. And in terms of our approach, we're saying that let's create 200, or we will create 200 job opportunities on all your district municipalities. You realize, honorable members, that if you can just take the metros and all the district metros, it translates to about 10,000 job opportunities. To say that, it is also not the same thing as saying we will disregard rural municipalities. We are using what we call the rural development strategy, which is advanced by the Department of Rural Development. We then identify what is called the 21 economic zones across the republic. Those 21 economic zones, amongst the main focuses also on rural areas. We also take a view, honorable members, that this program is just but one intervention that can be made in terms of dealing with the fixing of infrastructure. There are a number of programs which are advanced by different government departments, Department of Transport, Department of Rural Affairs, and so forth and so forth. So the answer is yes, we do not disregard the rural municipality. What happens after 6 months? What we're using here, honorable members, is that if we're talking about employing 400 young people per metro, we're saying to a municipality, give us 200 unemployed young people. And then we've got a database which is used by the National Youth Development Agency, which is used by the Department of Rural Affairs and so forth. That database also consists of young people who are already in existing programs. So what we are attempting therefore to do is that those people who are in the existing programs, when we start these programs, we should not disregard them, but they should be maintained within this social security system. Eventually, you will be able to actually inherit young people who are already in the existing program and inherit them in this new program so that then you actually sustain their stay in the total social security. So the attempt is to both include the ones that are in the existing program so that they don't stay there for 6 months and then after that they go back to join the unemployed. It is to use those ones but also then link those that are outside this security net. Honorable members, the question that deals with there is a particular study that was conducted by some institution that talks about the 4 to 6 days. I leave that to DDG EPWP. There is a specific slide or bullet that deals critically with actually disputing that particular view. So that the DDG EPWP, when it does its presentation, we will cover that. Issues of quality assurance, 100%. You will realize, honorable members, that there are certain organizations that are facing potholes or road networks and so forth. What we have insisted as a department is that we will have to ensure that whatever construction materials that are going to be used are strictly those as dictated by the CSIR. We're discussing with the CSIR. Our internal staff members that will be deployed in all the provinces have been trained already by CSIR. There's what we call the minimum guidelines that CSIR has actually developed to say, how do you classify a pothole? What kind of solution are you going to fix for that specific pothole? Because the potholes are not the same. Some will require light rehabilitation, some will require heavy rehabilitation, some will require complete deconstruction of that road and then putting a completely new road. So we are using the minimum guidelines dictated by CSIR. But most importantly, Honorable members will remember that one of the entities that is reporting to Public Works is Agrima SA, which is your quality assuring setting standard in the construction industry. The discussions that we've been having with CSIR involved the Agrima SA. As a matter of fact, Agrima SA participate in all the task teams when we go and meet with municipalities so as to ensure that what we'll be doing, the materials that we'll be using, are clearly quality assured. And yes, we can confirm, honorable members, that all what some are called your professional technical unit of metro municipalities, of district municipalities, and so forth, want to make sure that they participate in each and every task team that we set up that deals with those municipalities. For an example, in Swan, the professional unit there is part of the task team that is including Agrima SA and our officials. When we go to each and every metro, we'll make sure that all those people are actually included. Honorable members, that will be the my response with regards to that. And the last point that I'd like to make is that we have indicated in the recent past that there are other programs that are also concentrating on job creation, which of course in the not too distant future, honorable members will probably give us time to actually present them. The program that deals with the maintenance of the land ports of entry, also creating job opportunities. We're starting in the Bombo, we're starting to go to the municipalities, we're going to employ people from this municipality.
Can you not repeat that because it was said in the last meeting?
Thank you.
Follow up, Honorable Rami Pati.
Madam Chair, I'm very much concerned. You know, the way in which South Africans are subdivided and priority being given to the metros, really, each time you refer to the rural areas, you'll be told about the Department of Rural Development, whereas EPWP is meant for all South Africans across the road. What is EPWP's program in the rural areas? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Can you respond to that, Mr. Mabuza? And truly speaking, Mabuza, what you are saying here is not what is happening on the ground. You go through Makhuba Sloop from Zanin Makhuba Sloop up to Polokwane. You see the state of the road through Makhuba Sloop. The way potholes are handled, the way they are repaired, it's not appetizing. Because if the potholes are repaired this week, go there next week. Can we really have concrete evidence or take us to a place where you are satisfied that potholes are only dealt with in the metro like you indicated? I've gone through Cape Town here. I haven't seen even a single pothole because it's a metro. But go down to the rural areas like Rabu Pati has said. It's shameful. Honorable Mazopa.
Yes. No, I thank you very much for the response from Mr. Mabuza. Also, I'm having a great concern around the issue of the rural areas. Mr. Mabuza will know I come down from rural areas there in Richards Bay, you know. So if I look at Nkandla, I look at Ntambanana, and look at, you know, all those areas that are there, and we are prioritizing even with the number for the metro that are well off, that can also collect revenue. I think maybe even the numbers should be increased in the deep rural areas around the issue of this EPWP. I know that also it's one of the programs of EPWP, but also all the time our planning, I think we need to focus because there is a lot of backlog is in those rural areas, in those municipalities. Even the numbers say, I think maybe in your planning, always try. That's why I think for the first time, the president of the country focused on the rural development because of the challenges one identifies in the rural areas. That really, all the time when the planning is starting, because their voice is not well heard, you know, all the time we focus to those that can speak for themselves in rich areas, you know, metros. I think now it's time to focus also to support the president's call on the priority on rural development. And also I'm glad to hear that we do have the list of the beneficiaries of EPWP.
That one I think we really appreciate. We'll just request maybe, if possible, sometime to get a list of those beneficiaries in different areas, different municipalities. If we say in that province, this is the EPWP list, the people that are there, so that we can monitor those things and have tangible things. Once, if we want to visit and see those people, we are in a position to do that. I'm glad to hear that we do have EPWP beneficiary list. If we can request that, Chair, from you. Thank
you.
Thank you, Chairperson. What, Chairperson, as far
as... Your mic is not on.
Thank you, Chairperson. The potholes, as far as they are concerned, they are all over South Africa. South African roads are full of potholes. And you will see that, as you have mentioned, that in cities and towns, the potholes are being managed smoothly. But when you go outside each and every town, you find that a lot of potholes are there. And the companies that are doing the potholes are not doing a good job, because as you have said, they close the pothole this week, and then after that a big, heavy rain comes. The next day you find that the pothole is there and it's bigger than what it was before. So I think they shall have to see to it that the construction companies that they employ are qualified companies.
Thank you, Baba. And Mr. Mabuza or Ms. Lydia, can you please respond shortly?
Yes, can I just say on issues, especially about what has been done to rural areas on EPWP, then we must talk to that. Mandate program, the pothole program is new, so what we are seeing is on the ground is work that has been done. I'm not taking anything away from what the relevant departments have done. But we are saying, starting from this year, as our response to the President's call, as a department, we are doing this as a special intervention. Mandam must respond specifically to this program in terms of the call that I'm hearing from the member, honorable members, that we need to focus in rural areas as well.
And it must be short, then, to the point.
Okay.
Very short, the Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Member, we take the point that you are making to say let's focus more on rural areas than not on districts. We take that point. The list will be available to Honourable Members as and when it is requested in terms of beneficiaries across the provinces. And thirdly, the reason why we've brought in CSIR and Agrima SA is to actually ensure that the quality assurance standards on the fixing of the portfolio is actually not compromised.
Thanks, Honourable Mabuza. Can we get Honourable Mr. Are you going to respond? Or are they taking the
Chair, if I may beg your indulgence. Some of these issues will be dealt with as we cover the presentation. Perhaps if the questions are not answered then,
okay,
maybe we can take them again. Would that
okay.
be order?
In order, you can make your presentation.
Thank you. If we can just go back to the very first slide. You want me to go right there? Okay. If we could just go back to the table of contents. What we had tried to do was to respond to the detailed request that we had received from the portfolio committee. So, Mr. Mabuza has spoken to the Otto program. We will be giving you the progress report. We will speak to the deployment of data capture, technical support in municipalities, National Youth Service, the average duration of work opportunities, provincial incentive grants, the EPLP reporting system, and the national EPLP project list across the municipalities. And then IDT will be covering the unsafe structures in terms of school work. There was a request with regard to an update in terms of the EPLP performance, but if you would allow me just briefly to recap what the EPWP is all about, and that is the major objective is to draw poor, unemployed people to the world of work. First of all. Secondly, we would like to prioritize training where it is appropriate. Thirdly, we would be dealing with enterprise development issues in the program, especially with a special focus on youth. The program works or covers four sectors, Chair and honourable members, namely the infrastructure sector, the social sector, the environment and culture sector, the non-state sector, the enterprise development funds across all of those. The program works furthermore across three spheres of government: national, covers national departments, provincial, as well as local government. And we also have targets for designated groups, namely women, 35% women, youth, 40%, and 2% people with disabilities. In phase one, we didn't have the non-state sector involved. The focus was mainly on public sector funding. In phase two, we have also innovation. They have drawn in what we call the non-state sector, with the focus in particular is on the not-for-profit sector to support them to with regard to the creation of work. If we look then at this slide, what it is, the program has very clear targets, annual targets. Just give you a quick rundown. In year one of phase two, the target was the creation of 550,000 work opportunities. In year two of phase two, 642,000. We are coming right to the end of year two now. And year three will be 862,000. And then there's a dramatic upscaling in terms of year four and five, namely 1.2 million, 1.6 million work opportunities to enable us to achieve a target of 4.5 million work opportunities over 5 years, which means by 2040. What we see here then is the progress report with regard to the target for, if I can just use the cursor here, but the 642,000 work opportunities there for this year. We are currently standing by the end of December, that is end of quarter three, 493,200 work opportunities, which amounts to 77% of targets. And what we will be reporting to this committee would be the progress with regard to where we stand by the financial year comes to an end by March, by the end of this month, and we normally have a period of 6 weeks to consolidate the data across these three spheres of government and across the four sectors. And by 6 weeks after the closing of quarter, we have to report to National Treasury and we submit then a report to our minister. This is just perhaps a more graphic way to see where we show how the different sectors have performed against the target. You will see the infrastructure sector where there are 210,000 in terms of the 342,000 that they were supposed to have created in this year, and the environment and culture sector, you can see the target there, the performance against the target rather, and you will see in the social sector there was overperformance in terms of the target that have set, as well as in the not-for-profit sector and community work program. This particular slide just gives us more detail of what I refer to now across the different sectors and the departments that have been involved. We have we generate after every quarter detailed reports where we state clearly within at the national government these departments have reported. This was the expenditure, so many work opportunities have been created, as well as on the designated groups. And so there's a
before proceeding on under environmental and culture, can you please remove forestry, because forestry no longer falls under Department of Water Affairs, it now falls under agriculture.
Yes.
Next time, we'll correct that.
We our apologies, Chair, they fall under the Department of Agriculture and Forestry. I think should I just say at the time of reporting, these programs have to report as such under those. So we agree with you, but just some reporting period. That's what we need. There was a request that we should be reflecting also on the data capturers deployed. Now, the department itself, and if I can contextualize for members, the reason for this particular intervention was that even though the projects could be implemented, many a time we find that there would be poor reporting and there would be under-reporting, which means things would be happening on the ground, but then the project data never finds its way into our reporting systems. And the intervention from the department side was to appoint a team of data capturers. And our partner as an implementing agency on this policy is also the EPWP, and rather the IDT, my apologies. And so we have employed directly 30 data captured by the department and 63 through the IDT, and we are just giving you the breakdown here for where the department data capturers are, and the following slide refers to where the 60 data capturers actually the total amount is actually 63, where they are, how they are currently used. So we have a central a data center in Midrand, where data that comes in would be captured, and if we would be in cases where we would be receiving a report or calls from a department or any interpreting body that they cannot capture the data, we dispatch teams also to where the need is. And we would like to point out that you will notice this is almost like an intervention. What ideally should be happening in the context of EPWP would be the institutionalization of the data capturers as a monitoring, evaluation, and reporting function. Because wherever we go, we advocate this because that would be a sustainable way in which municipalities would be able to reflect on their programs, and as well as the same goes for provincial departments. So what we are doing at best would be a stopgap measure to ensure that the data will get on the system. There was furthermore a question with regard to the technical support provided to municipalities. We know there are 283 municipalities, and we have over the years incrementally tried to provide technical support. The technical support we know would be most needed in the rural municipalities. And we, up to now, the department is providing technical support to 174 municipalities. And we plan to, obviously, we cannot leave it at 174, we will have to cover the entire spectrum of, or the entire population of municipalities, 283, so we are working towards that. I should say that we have formed a partnership with the DBSA through the CN, the Manager Program Chair, Honourable Members, to ensure that we do not duplicate our efforts. So in cases where the DBSA has a footprint already in terms of the CN, the Manager Program, we are piggybacking onto that, and we are, so that our direct interventions can actually expand into the new municipalities that have not been covered as yet. And we are going to employ 6 more deputy directors to ensure that we have the capacity as a department to respond to that. This gives us a breakdown. As I said earlier, there are 23 municipalities, and these are the municipalities across the provinces where we are currently directly involved. That brings the total to 174. In terms of the NYS, the department's particular focus, as I said earlier, on youth development through the EPWP also. And program's focus is on training of youth artisan trade in the built environment. And the program consists of 1 year of training and 6 months of theoretical training. The 1 year broken down, 6 months of theoretical training and 6 months of practical training. In 10-11 financial year, thus far, 3,255 youth have been put on the program. 100 youth who exited the program from the Northern Cape, they have been placed on an artisan training program with the Nuclear Energy Corporation of South Africa. And that program was launched earlier this year. And this is our attempt to say that we are mindful of the fact of the dangers when young people are just exposed to limited opportunities and they're not being able to, after the particular program intervention, they would be, so to speak, on the streets again. And so in terms of our exit program, this proves to be very challenging, but we have made some inroads, albeit very humble, we would suggest. The department plans to place some of the youth also who have exited the program on the pothole repair program, as well as cooperatives in terms of the cleaning of the land force. With regard to the average duration of a work opportunity, and we note the study that has been mentioned here, the concept of public works program is based on the assumption in different other countries such as India and our own Zimbabwe program that it would be, the aim should be to create at least 100 days of work per person per year. Let me just contextualize the 100 days of work, and I will use the Zimbabwe as an example. The 100 days, if a year consists of 52 weeks, which means we are roughly talking here about almost like that's 2 days of work per 2 days of work per week, which is actually it will give us 100. With regard to the Zimbabwe program, what we have seen of our research has shown, and I think some of the members here, they were privileged to have visited the program also last year, some of the sites in the project. We have seen that where poor rural people, where they have the ability to earn an income, say, on two, even for 2 days per week, what it creates for them would be, say, the advantage is the regularity and the predictability of the income. What we have seen there, what the rural women there started, they started a savings program, and the rest of the work day, they will do other things. Which means this is, we're not suggesting this is the solution, but that was the aim. With regard to the figures quoted of 46 days per the average duration on the project, we would like to just refer you to the table here. And we would rather like to show that so far this financial year, there's a range that we have to work with, because averages can be extremely misleading. The EPLP type of work opportunities, they are project bound. Therefore, if a project runs for a period of 5 months, that is the duration of a work opportunity. We have seen in the social sector, the environment, cultural sector, some projects run for 12 months, 18 months, up to 2 years. Which means we should be looking at the range rather. And now, if you look at these figures here, you will see, and take into account, we are not dealing here with an entire year. We are looking at from the 1st of April to the 1st of December. You will see in the non-state sector, the number of days that the communities, that the community work program is extremely low. And then it increases the environment, the culture sector, and you will see the infrastructure, the range is from 30 days up to 108 days, and then the non-state sector, the average would be hovering around 60 odd up to 73 days, and the social sector, again, 108, 160, 140, etc. So what we are putting to this committee simply that when we look at a single figure of 46 days, it's extremely misleading. We would like to put these figures out there saying there's a whole range. If you would allow me, Chair, in terms of the non-state sector, communities have made a call where they've said rather than giving income to one household for a longer period, they've identified households and say we would like this project, what communities will earn from this project, to be spread over more communities. Which means that obviously it lowers the duration of the average duration of person basic work. So we just like to make that particular point, but we should rather be looking at the range and taking into account that communities often make a call saying rather than one household will have worked 1 year, we would like to spread it over a certain number of households. And that's the call that poor people themselves have made. Progress so thus far in terms of infrastructure sector, the wage incentive. That was a point that we had to deal with also. The provincial department in 7 out of 9 provinces have been able to access the infrastructure sector. If you would allow me, Chair, just to give background with regard to the wage incentive in the infrastructure sector, because we have responded directly to the bullet point, but I think there's a need perhaps to contextualize the wage incentive. The principle of the wage incentive in the infrastructure sector, it works on the basis that with a given budget, a particular infrastructure department should be able to create a certain number of work opportunities already. That would be a threshold, and whatever they create above the threshold, they will be incentivized by saying it started with 50 rand per person for work that will be paid back to that department for the work opportunities created above the threshold. And so that is the basic principle. Furthermore, what we have done with the wage incentive infrastructure sector, there is a particular rural bias that was built into the formula. Metros, they have to adhere to a certain threshold of what we call full-time equivalents, and for rural municipalities, the threshold is set at 0, which means they just have to create work opportunities, implement the project, report on that, so that we have verifiable and auditable figures, and then they can access the wage center. So there's such a very clear rural bias built into the wage center. So that is the background. So the Department of Public Works, the incentive money will come onto our vote, but that money can only be claimed based on performance. So it's a performance-based grant. So when we look at these figures, I would like members to keep in mind that the money, the indicative amount will be published in the Division of Revenue Act as part of the schedule. We're saying Department X can potentially claim, let's say, 10 million rand. But that 10 million rand is not, can only be accessed based on the performance. That's why you will see that when I look at the figures, you will see that as they claim, drawdowns were made against the indicative amount. What is not used by that department can then be used by another department who is overperforming. So it's not just a case of the money is negated in DORA and therefore it goes to the department. It is there, but show us your performance first. Now if we then look at this, we would like to report that 185.9 million will be paid out of 330 million available for the current financial year, and this amounts to 56% of the provincial allocation. Only the Northern Cape Northwest provinces have not accessed the incentive allocation for the 2011 financial year, and for municipalities, 273.3 million of 632.9 million will be paid considering the first quarter reporting, and this represents 44% of the municipal allocation of 2011 financial year. Overall then, 449 million of the 954 million has been accessed so you a slide, Chair and Honourable Members. It gives a breakdown how of the centre performance across the different provinces, and they give you the figures, the allocation for 10-11 financial year, the indicative figures, and then the drawdown against that. These are the figures for the municipalities that I've spoken to earlier, just broken down, and we have a detailed list of individual municipalities also. Measures put in place to improve performance in the EPWP incentive drawdown. Public bodies, both in the province and municipalities, they are provided with support to report on the EPWP, and I've spoken to the data capture. A partnership has been formed with DBSA through the Senator Manager program. We consistently train officials in municipalities in labor intensive methods of construction with the LG CETA, local government CETA, that's currently being rolled out. We have busy training on reporting to public body officials to ensure that they will be able to report, that we can cut down on the poor data quality, and that we can assist them in terms of institutionalizing the capacity to report. And technical support is being provided to public bodies to implement their projects more labor intensively. We have found that we have to become involved at the planning and design phase so that a particular project in a municipality can be designed labor intensively, machines can be taken away, and the creation of work opportunities will be optimized. There was a particular bullet point with regard to the EPWP reporting system, and I would just like to report briefly that there are currently two systems in operation, and the department is now currently integrating these two systems so that there won't be any confusion with regard to reporting. The infrastructure sector reports come through the EPWP MIS, and that's because of historical reasons, and the web is the rest of the EPWP data across the other sectors come through the EPWP web-based system, but we have put a point of service provider already to integrate these two systems, but there won't be any disjuncture in terms of reporting, which means these two systems will be running until such time as the integrated system kicks in, so we don't cause any problems with regard to access. On the next slide, we wanted to give you the details how we have gone about with regard to system integration and the development of the new system.
Thank you, Mr. Hampton. Honourable members, I think we need to engage on this presentation. Mr. Henderson, on page 12. We are talking about training of youth in artisan trades, of which is a very good idea. But here in the Western Cape, in your regional office, there's an artisan workshop that is run by Fred Johnson in your regional office. Those people in that workshop have nothing to do. I'm told they are lottering, there are big machines there, and nothing is taking place. Why are they not utilized? And we are thinking again of adding artisans on top of those who are doing nothing. I'm also told that in the whole of South Africa, Department of Public Works, you have got 40 artisans. What are they doing? Are you utilizing them? Can we get a response on that? Because we cannot keep on adding the numbers on top of the numbers that are not doing anything and are paid for lottery. Honourable Member, over to you. Honourable Madaba?
No, thanks, Madam Chair. No, I'm covered on the one for artisans to say this. We must really understand where they deployed, though they have been trained. Because we can't keep on training people and we don't know. This takes me to the request to the department that may maybe also because as politicians, sometimes we need to account to our community. We appreciate the report is indicating a breakdown of the provinces where the data capturers are and so on and so forth. Maybe in the report, one will request that in future, maybe also the municipalities to be indicated. Because if we come to say 45 in Eastern Cape, and sometimes the chairperson is being interviewed, he said, no, there are 45 in Eastern Cape, you know, in 5 municipalities. They will say, where? Where in Eastern Cape? So we must have that information. My request comes to request is that if we can add that so that we know exactly, because we play an oversight role. We can't just go and look in Eastern Cape. We must be specific sometimes, but it's good that you are coming with that one. It's not a criticism, it's just a request to further clarify where we can get those particular things. The issue of the data capturers, Madam Chair, I was of the view that we have got 90 data capturers. If my memory serves me well, I once read in one of the papers since I came here in January, there is something like that, so I want to get a clarity. I see a breakdown now. There are 30 data capturers and the spread where they are to say what is happening to the other. I don't know whether it's included to that IDT, but I was of the view that ours are 90. I see that IDT also have got 60 data capturers, and I was told that some of the data capturers moved to COSTA. Maybe if we can understand how many data capturers that are within a public works, because if you look on page 9, this month, page 9, deployment of data capturers, I see that they are deployed in different provinces. But at the same time, if you read Department of Public Works, I don't pull it. Yeah, bullet number 6 or 7 talks about Department of Public Works 5 supporting 5 provinces. I don't know whether are those that are within our department that we control. Maybe if one can get a clarity, because we want to know where they are. And also just to check, Madam Chair, to say, are these data capturers, how is their functionality based on the report that they submitted to say, this is the EPWP members, it's happening this side and that side. If we can, those that are effective now, because we're told that there were 90 others were deployed there, and at the moment as a department, we are not yet sure how many remains that we can account on data capturers, because it's critical. As we requested that maybe if we can get the data of the beneficiaries of the EPWP, it will assist us if we know that those people are really effective, they are functioning where they are, and get a clear understanding how many that we can account are within us. If those that moved to the Department of Culture, they moved, and how many that are remaining. That is my question, Chair. You'll forgive me because we are coming from local government. In local government, you can't just generalize. You become specific because we have got the time that we have been questioned by the community. So I've got that spirit that even here, because we represent the community, when they ask me as a member of this portfolio, I can just say, no, it's happening there. I have witnessed it there. I can really show those particular communities that we represent here.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Member, are we done? Rabama Gubane, you will be followed by Honorable Domen.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the issue of yachts, which is 3,235, I would want to know as to how many of them are coming from the rural areas, so that we know exactly that number is inclusive. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Honorable Domen.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My first question is just on the data capturers. Are they doing any evaluation also, or are they just gathering information? What role do they play in assisting that improvements come in the program or whatsoever? detail. I mean, this oversight must take place, and that they only equipped to do that. But I would just like to have clarity on that, because it would be wonderful if some of them as leaders could also read what is going wrong and enhance the programs as such. Then, Chairperson, the Northern Cape and the Northwest, we're already in March, and it seems that those two provincial departments haven't accessed their allocation for the past financial year. Well, this is the last month, the first day of the last month. Who is responsible for this? What are you going to do about it? Or are you accepting that money will just be rolled over for the next year in this regard? Thank you.
Ntate Mungone, you'll be followed by Ntate Rabipata. My apologies.
And I apologize for being a little late. It is beyond my control. Chairperson, ma'am.
We will discuss that really remarkable.
Now, Chairperson, and other gentlemen needed to go what I wanted to say, but I wanted to perhaps stress it a bit much deeper to say, I can hear that it is said that there are interventions that are made by putting in your technical bodies and the data capturers. Now, I'm saying, can't you hold them accountable for not coming up to report? Can't you, is there no way that you can say, guys, you are failing our function, and therefore hold them accountable? For me, would be to say that if you don't report, it's more of an offense. Because the whole thing intends to derail the program of the WP. Chairperson, let me stop for now.
Thank you, honourable member. That's it.
Chairperson, in terms of the allocation of support to municipality, technical support to municipalities, I want to know what determines the numbers. Like when you look at the Eastern Cape, it has got 37 technical support. I mean, currently, technical support in the Eastern Cape is about 37 municipalities. In Gauteng, huge as it is, it's 9. If you go to Northern Cape, it's vast, it's only 12. And you go to Mpumalanga, it's 14. Northwest, it's 11. Western Cape, it's 24. Eastern Cape is 37, and Free State is 21. What I would like to know, why are these numbers varying, from 11 to 37? What determines what number is needed per province?
The answer is sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is on the two provinces not having access to EPWP infrastructure incentive. I think it boils back to the issue of the data capture. Because at the end of the day, they're going to have rollovers that will be... you cannot afford to have rollovers when there is so much poverty out there. And to the performance of the EPWP infrastructure incentive, as some are as low as 2%, 4%, and 5%, it's really not affected. Chairperson, one of the problems that we're having when we go out there to the local municipalities is the payment of the contractors. I think much as we become excited about these projects and other things,
I think it's very, very important and crucial to have this. Otherwise, the SMM is paid on time. Otherwise, they fail. They do it, and it's the end of them. On slide number 6, on page 3, it's the overall EPWP progress against 2010-2011. Maybe if you could have this on infrastructure, we've got 120,000, environment 150,000. You can have this, have a breakdown on this as the provinces, as to how many in the Eastern Cape, how many I think we'll have a feel as to how it's working in different provinces, and then those provinces that have lower numbers. I think it's the duty of the National Department of Public Works, the EPWP section, to make sure that, to check as to what is happening. Like I've already said that when we go down there, we find that people have got a very serious problem. They are really frustrated. They don't know whether they are coming or going. At the end of the day, there is no performance. Much as you get this, the reports and presentations, nice and really promising, but at the end of the day, we don't have the feel of what is going on at local level, especially in the rural local municipalities.
Thank you, Honorable Muan. My last one. Can you clarify me on the National Youth Service and the National Rural Youth Service Corps? Is it the same thing? And then also on page 6, slide number 2. The 174 you are talking about, the total of 174. That is page 6 on this document. Slide number 12. The 174 that we are talking about. These are not data capturers. It's technical support to the municipalities. Okay, thank you. Can you respond to all the questions, please?
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members. Because of the first question about DPW's workshops, perhaps the CEO can like to add on this one also. There's been a concerted effort in the department to address the revival of the workshops within DPW, and the link between that and the EPWP is certain that we would be thinking, we hear what you're saying about people being idle in these workshops, and some of them, anyway. What we are suggesting is that the DPW...
Some of them. You're saying some of them.
You have to refer to a specific...
Yeah.
To catch on regional, So I think that you did refer to necessarily to the entire, to all the workshops of DPW. That's why I said at some of these workshops. So we hear what you say. What is important is currently developing be what we call the revival of the workshops to ensure that certainly maintenance will be done more efficiently, but also that the workshop could possibly serve as a vehicle to expose young people to artisan development. And that's all that I would like to say with regard to this particular one. I don't know whether the CEO would like to add on this one.
Maybe could you check that? Let me add now. The Department of Public Works originally had workshops manned by full-time employees of the Department of Public Works. Over time, for different reasons, a decision was taken to do away with workshops. Workshops were basically where people would go and do the actual physical work, whether it's a client requirement on a minor repair. so we would have people in house. After some time, a decision was taken to do away with that model, business model, and people were deployed in various areas. Recently, a decision has been taken to reconstitute and refocus the workshops. When our plans are finalized, I'm sure we will present to the portfolio committee how the workshops are going to be run in the new conceptualization. Otherwise, that's the issue that Kelly is referring to.
Follow up,
yes.
So
the follow up is around the issue of the existing people that have been trained vis-a-vis the new one that are recruited. And what are the existing people that have been trained doing? Are we utilizing them? Do we see the need of recruiting more before we utilize those that we have? Because according to the chair, saying that those people were trained, yes, now it's a workshop. I think workshops are good. We can't discourage that one because people is where they share the experiences of the work and everything and get knowledge on it. But the good thing was around the issue of the people that have been trained vis-a-vis the presentation to say that we need to recruit more, you know, of those people, if we can get a response on that one.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. We are looking here at two groups of people. The chair has referred to employees of a department, and that those would not be the EPWP beneficiaries. So we would like to issue just the, those are actually what the chair has mentioned, but basically permanent employees being idle in the workshops. That's the one issue that she's suggesting that the department has to deal with. Second issue with regard to the EPWP, the NYS participants. Remember, these are young people that have been drawn into the program, and they have undergone training, the 6 months and 6 months practical, 6 months theoretical training. What we are suggesting for the from the EPWP program side, we have to explore consistently different possible exit strategies. And one of these we are suggesting, if the workshops are revived properly, that there would be could be some exposure to get people who just had the initial training, they could should perhaps be able to work with more experienced people too. That would be the one avenue, experience and for possible absorption then. That's the one issue. Another strategy that we have been dealing with was the 100 NYS participants from the Norway camp. They've had the initial training, and we have now an arrangement with Nexa, where they are actually getting detailed training over a 3-year period. And then the agreement with Nexa, for instance, is that they will be able to exit, they will take responsibility to place 50 of these participants with in the industry, so to speak, because they are trained on a whole range of electrical, mechanical, and a whole range of artisanal skills, should I say. And the department has to play a role there. That's why I just linked those two. But we are, but the internal matter that the chair has made, that is a valid point that the department has to deal with. May I continue, Chair? May I continue? Or say?
I think. Have you responded to all the questions?
No, may I continue with the other questions I'm asking?
Yeah.
Yes. With regard to the deployment of data capturers in municipalities and the total of 90 data capturers, we were trying to show through the slides that the department itself has employed 50 data capturers. And then, in terms of our partnership to the IDT, which is the implementing agency on many projects. We have appointed to the IT 63 data capturers, if my serves me correctly. So in total, it is more than 90 data capturers that we have employed. And yes, I've signed to explain that they have a central data capturing center. Nice data capturers could never be enough for the challenge across the country, so to speak. But what we have found, obviously, is there would be varying capacities in different municipalities and in different provinces, provincial departments. That's why we try to centralize a core group of these, and then where the need arises, they are placed in where the big numbers would be needed to be captured. So it's a combination of deployment in municipalities and centralization where we get the data to be sent in there and they're captured. If I may just address on Godone's question also, with regard to the role, yeah, the different questions on the data captures, their core function is the capturing of data. Because they have been trained to capture data, they have to understand the definitions for the different data fields. If the data would be coming in different formats, they have to be able to be. And that's why we have to run a quality control on the data that they capture and their specific management with regard to how we manage and assess these data capture. But the data capturing function falls within the broader framework of the monitoring and evaluation. So the department has a specific monitoring and evaluation function getting the quality data. And the big issue around data capture for us would be the question of data quality. Because it's one thing to have data captured, but it's another thing to ensure that you have captured the data correctly. That's why that's our biggest headache with regard to managing people coming in fresh, so to speak, and you go to them through training to ensure that we get the data properly. But the other monitoring and evaluation issues, that is dealt with within the broader monitoring and evaluation framework, and that could entail evaluation studies and how we analyze the data further, where the spikes are, and the early warning lights will be flashing of the time. We have a detailed breakdown actually of where the NYS participants, where they come from in terms of they obviously manage centrally through our regional offices. So when we say the number more than 3,000 workers, participants, we have the legal figures, how many would be placed, would be reporting, so to speak, within the Cape Town region, for instance. But within that would be, depending on where the projects are, that's where they would be. And we would be more than happy to come back to the committee to show or to give a breakdown in terms of the rural, urban, how many of these data captures would be, where they would be, and give you the rural urban breakdown. So we'd be saying it is in, in fact, they report to a particular regional office, that doesn't mean that they are necessarily directly at that office there. They would be obviously be where the projects would be distributed according to the projects.
Yeah, sure,
yes.
I would want to go back to the same question. I can hear that Mr. Henderson is trying to reply to my question, but I would want him to be specific because of one thing, and that thing alone. That thing says that most of the rural people are being ignored in many, many spheres of the government. That is why I would want to know as to how many youth have been recruited from the rural areas. I want him to be specific about that.
Chair, with your permission, can I come back to you and give you the detailed breakdown with regard to that? Because I can't respond immediately. Don't have the figures like immediately, but I will definitely either submit a written report, or if you so wish, we could come back and report on that to give you the detailed breakdown.
And an addition of where are they placed?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are they placed in the Department of Public Works or in the DBS office? We want to know where are they and how many per province. Because provinces are not the same. We've got 9 provinces and we are talking about 90. And my understanding is that we might have distributed them as 10 per province. That's my guess. So can you include all that information?
We will package it for this, Chair. With regard to the incentives, the NOMTEC Northwest, the non-performance, we are consistently engaging when the schedules are published in terms of the Division of Revenue Act. Specifically said, this, they say, the infrastructure departments, it would be Departments of Public Works, normally roads. Specifically said, this is what they could potentially access, as I said, an indicative allowance. And what our team is doing then is saying, we engage with them to ensure that they can get the data onto the system. With regard to these two provinces, it has proved to be an uphill battle, and we did not get the desired results. That's why we didn't try to kind of just camouflage. We put it right up front. That's part of our challenges that we have to deal with as we follow up on, because it affects extremely badly if the money is there but it's not taken up. And there could be there would normally be a whole range of issues, but I don't want to be speculating about that. We will give you a detail in our written response to you. That would be one of the issues that we will be following up on. Non-reporting, who's accountable? Our view also is that it should indeed be a crime. Not reporting. Because it doesn't give us but two issues on that is not reporting and then often poor reporting, which means we're getting data that when we run our quality checks on it, it is not possible to include it into our consolidated data for a particular quarter. And what we have done to improve on this is we have disaggregated the overall target. Remember we said 4.5 million work opportunities for the program over 5 years. We have disaggregated those targets into provincial targets, and then within the province of individual who should be responsible for what. And the same thing at local government level for municipalities also. We have disaggregated the targets into municipal targets for the district municipality, for local municipalities, how many should be created by, with the budgets that they do command, how many work opportunities should be created. And protocols have been signed, or we are in the process of signing the protocols. Up to now, 60 of them have been signed with municipalities where municipal managers and the mayor, they commit themselves that to report on these number of work opportunities. So that's the way that we start tying it in through protocols, and signed protocols between our minister and the municipality, and with individual, with the previous individual provinces also. There was a question with regard to technical support, and the was varying. I think when we referred to different. If I can just get to back to this particular slide, I think it was with regard to slide 12, in Eastern Cape would be X number in the different provinces. Now, in terms of the technical support, we obviously, there are 283 municipalities, and we have to report on the we obviously have to start somewhere in terms of saying where would we start. What we have done initially is saying we look at the budgets commanded across the different municipalities, and we say if a municipality would be commanding this big budget, this is where potentially the biggest creation of work opportunities would be. Which means we were looking at those who could potentially contribute most work opportunities first. how we have prioritized. It was also linked to the municipalities initially that have been prioritized through COCTA at the time. They had a specific program with regard to municipalities. I can't recall what the name of the program was, but they said these municipalities would be the priority municipalities in terms of where they would be the biggest challenge. We are piggyback initially on those. I think we start off at 30, increase to 60, and then to the 134. So what we see here in terms of the overall municipal support would be the end result of how we have applied our priorities in terms of those with the big mid budgets and those with the smaller ones. That's what was basically made on an analysis of those mid allocations initially. And that's how we came up with this configuration. But as I said, our aim is, even though we're covering 174 right now, we are mindful of the fact that there are 283 municipalities. It is just kind of a case of how do you eat the elephant. Either you can say you will be doing, we can commit, we will be doing the entire population now, and having come back to the committee and say, no, we cannot. But we have decided to have a very rational approach in saying, this is how we incrementally cover all municipalities.
Want to make a follow-up?
The payment of contractors, Chair, to be more speedily, we are consistently working this on each and every case that we do get. We are trying to follow up and to ensure that there would be proper payment because often, in most of all cases, it is not the Department of Public Works who command the first things if a project is happening. But we are not washing our hands. We say, where these issues come up, we're engaging with the relevant municipality or with the relevant provincial government department to ensure that payment would be expedited, but because we realize the challenge for small contracts that they don't get paid, they can indeed easily be seriously damaged and even go out of business. We currently have, I think, one or two cases that we are busy following up on, and that is only in cases where obviously we just delay to us. What we do as a rule also is to select a certain number of municipalities of projects randomly, and we pay them visits to follow up on these issues, whether it's actually there, how project management is running, and those. We do that as part of our broader monitoring and evaluation framework also, but as part of our random selection, there are always cases where we hear there are challenges, and we follow up on an individual basis in each case. The provincial and municipal breakdown, the figures, we generate a detailed report. Annexure G that you have received as part of the handout, it gives a detailed breakdown of the municipal report. And you will see the metros there, you will see what is happening in the rural municipalities. As a matter of fact, in that particular list, I think something like 74,000 can be ascribed to metros. Whereas there's a total in that for municipalities, there's a total of 170,400 work opportunities. And you will see the figures for the metros and for the others that would be falling in the urban areas. Obviously, metros command much bigger budgets, and therefore they will create more work opportunities also. But we keep,
This annex
that
you want is too faint. You can't even read it. For some of us who are nearing our grave, it's too difficult for us to even read it.
Our apologies,
yeah? No, it's
true. Our apologies. We can do one of two things. I can either read here for you, I can try to read, or we will send. But on a more serious note, we will definitely send it to you electronically, these, so that members can actually study these and look at it. I think that covers. What I want to say is with regard to that, we also have a detailed list of the provincial breakdown like here also, because the other members zoomed in on the municipalities, right there, the different list I can distribute of the provincial breakdown also, if members so wish. But we will send it, but the provincial list is also in the same format. So we will send it to you electronically, but we can distribute.
Mr. Anderson, the president in his response in the House, he said 78,615 jobs were created by extended public works program. I just want to get a clarity whether those jobs were only created by early childhood development or by both home-based care and early childhood development. Because, you know, if you go around our townships and also in the rural area, there are so many home-based care. Some are registered, some are not registered. I don't know. Can you clarify us on that? Because I think 78,000, if home-based care is included, it's too little.
Thank you,
Jim.
If I can take you back to honourable members to slide 5 of our presentation, you will notice that in the social sector here, which we report, number for work opportunities there, 78,650 work opportunities in the social sector. And that would be, that was what was reported for that reporting period, April to September 2010. Yes. For that period, I think that was the figure that the President quoted, and that would have been across home community, HDBC and ECD. You will see the figure in the new report is up to 8,715 work opportunities. I think that is what the President referred to, and what he did not say there was for that particular period was up to the end of September, and now up to the end of December, we spent the figure of 108,000. We can provide you with a breakdown in the social sector. If you would allow me to put on our electricity, I will give you the breakdown between the social sector and the ECD and the other programs within the social sector.
So why allow the President to respond that we have created 78,000 jobs? Meanwhile, you are saying it's over 100,000. Why do you give the President and overdue reports instead of giving him the updated reports? Because that's what you're saying.
Thanks for the question. But what I put before you here, these are our quarterly reports that would be distributed as a matter of course. He quoted three figures that we have now. We have submitted it to our minister about 2 weeks ago. So I think the President or the team, and I can't answer for them obviously, but they would obviously have referred to what they would have had in their possession that we publish quarterly on our website, on the department's website. That's all I can say about that. But because we have not received the question directly, so I cannot answer for, but because you mentioned the figure of 78,000, I can only refer to our data here. But that was the quarter 2 report, and the quarter 3 report is what we are presenting to you.
And my apology for dialogue, Mr. Anderson. You see, you were talking about April to September. That 78,000 was from April to September 2010. And you are saying you are submitting quarterly report. What happened to the last quarter? Because now we have finished the second quarter after that report of September. It is September, if I'm correct, if I understand what you are saying. So there are two quarters that we have not. Honorable Mabuza, can you not, please? I know that he is not a public speaker, but I want him to respond to this question. What happened to the two quarters that you did not report? Why was the report not submitted? Because it says to me, for the past two quarters, reports were not updated and submitted.
Thank you, Chair. the financial years, obviously we work with national financial years, starts in April, which means the current financial year for us, 10-11, it starts on the 1st of April, it comes to the 8th now, end of March, end of this month. So quarter one, we do indeed generate quarterly reports, which means the first quarter report covering the period April to June, that's our quarter one report, and then from July to September would be the quarter two report. This, what I'm showing you here, that these are for two quarters, and then we show you the cumulative figure for after the end of December would be quarter three reports. And we get in our the figures for the final quarter now, quarter four, covering the period January to March. We get it in 2 weeks after closing of quarter. And then we start with our data validation procedures. We have to verify data, run our quality checks, and then it comes out what I would like to miss what I said is, we as the part of public works, we get in figures now across more than David, how many projects? Close to 2,000 projects across the different spheres of government. So three spheres of government and across all the sectors. And the data has to be subjected to data quality checks. What we do not do is to put out data there willy-nilly. That's why we say closing the quarter, then input the body submitted to us 2 weeks after closing of the quarter, which means the in mid-April, actually 3 weeks, by the 20th of April, we will be getting the quarter three data. And then we run our crunch numbers and run our checks, and then only do we generate these reports. But after every quarter, there is a report indeed. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the question. I want to check, Chair, you'll forgive me, Honorable Chair, the problem is that we got the report when we're here. So you just peruse and you see something that you need to ask the question of. And I appreciate that you requested that we get these things in advance in future so that we can run our meetings professionally, not keep on coming to the issue. We did not plan or read the agenda or the report. Here, I'm looking at different sectors on page 3. Infrastructure is one of those sectors that we're aiming at targeting of creating job opportunities, and there is an indication of 342,000. I want to check, infrastructure development has been identified as a key in boosting South African economy. When government invested 784 billion in 2009, and increased to 846 billion for 2010 over a medium-term expenditure framework period. 36 South Africa revealed a net loss of jobs in different sectors, but my focus is in particular on construction, that is 102,000 jobs that were lost. My question is that this infrastructure sector is a part of that 846 billion that was budgeted for to deal with. I see the target of 62% that we achieved. I am asking this, Chair, because the 36 South Africa indicated that around the issue of the infrastructure development, there is an outcry or a challenge that there is a slow delivery in the government processes that held up the processes, you know, to continue on that one. I'm not sure whether it is part, because when you look at that report of the state of South Africa, the indication also, it was like the only focus on the infrastructure development was around 2010 World Cup infrastructure development. But prior to that, there were challenges and so on. I want to get a clear, maybe
correct information around it, because you know when you read it may be a comment of the State South Africa to say 102, because if there was a budget of 846 billion, I was of the view that it can boost the construction and also the infrastructure development takes place, and then we prevent the loss of jobs, because I don't think it will assist us to plan, and we put our target for job creation, and at the same time we lose jobs, because it's like we are doing nothing. It's like pouring a water in a you know, a broken bucket, and the water is going out. Maybe if it is like that, and the challenges that they are saying that it's because of the processes of government, you know, they cited the example of the government, a 20-year electricity program, when statistics was talking about, to say that it is planning, it did not start on time and so on, which means to say that we are delaying to create job opportunities. I'm saying this because in the January 8th, in the state of the nation address, the president emphasized on the job creation, and if we don't account and we lose jobs, maybe we must come up with mitigation strategy to say how are we going to do it to make it sure that we create jobs and we prevent the loss of jobs. Thank you.
Thank you, Shepherdson. I don't want to sound like an old broken record. To add to what Comrade Matoka has just said, it's about the emphasis that was done by the President in the State of the Nation Address, actually from January 8th statement to up to now. When looking at the report, we are reporting on the third quarter of 2010-2011. Data. What I was trying to emphasize was that we're looking at the figures, we're looking at some of the performance on infrastructure as low as 2%, as low as 4%, and 5%. What I'm trying to say, that should have given the National Department of Public Works that a signal that there is a program on these municipalities. What I was trying to say was, what is it that you have done? I mean, this happened in the last quarter of 2010. Up until now, we still have the same. What is it that you have done to make sure that this doesn't happen again? I mean, if we don't use this amount of money, where there is a lot of poverty, and we are trying to alleviate poverty in all the spheres of the government, and then to say, I mean, 9 billion has been allocated to finance job creation initiatives over the next 3 years, mostly through EPWP. There's an emphasis from the president of the country that this needs to happen. Actually, it's an instruction. I think we need to come very clear that this is what, and above all, we've always said we are here as South Africans to work with the department to say if this is happening, we are also eager to assist here and there, because we are the ones that go to the ground to see to if that these things happen, and if they don't happen, we go back to the department to say, what is this? Why were you giving us such glossy reports and presentations, and yet nothing is happening on the ground? We've always emphasized that we want to work together because we want to alleviate poverty as much as possible. It's not the issue of you and us, them and us. We want to work together to assist each other on the alleviation of poverty in South Africa. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Nguyen. Can you please respond?
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, the 846 million budget for infrastructure, that would be certainly a big portion of that should be going to the creation of both EPWP work opportunities and permanent jobs. The approach from the department, what we have done, we have targeted in particular the rural roads. Because as Sylvia actually pointed out, many of that money would go to big infrastructure projects. Often would not be undertaken daily intensively. So our approach is firstly to target the rural roads program, and we have been very successful because that's where you can optimize the creation of work opportunities, especially in rural areas. But we are actually engaging with different departments as well as state-owned enterprises, SOEs, and since then, like ESCOM has come to the party, so to speak, in a big way, because there are many projects within the ambit of the SOEs where they can actually create work opportunities, so we are analyzing those budgets to optimize them. We should also say that DPW, the public works, we have reprioritized along the lines of the president's state of national debt and the call for the creation of work. So we look at both creation of work opportunities as well as creation as permanent jobs that need to be prioritized through what DPW is doing. But that's perhaps in a nutshell just a brief response to that. We are analyzing the budget to see how we can optimize the creation and the labor intensive approach to the engagement with departments to ensure that they do engage or implement rather a labor intensive approach.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Without any one stop time, can I allow Honorable Member's IDK to make its presentation? And can we make sure that the 30 minutes that we need to utilize the 30 minutes so that we can be able to go and put our things in the offices for us to go to wherever we are expected to? Do we all have IDT presentation? Honorable members? Honorable Domem. Satem Guni, do you have a copy?
No, Domem.
Can you please?
Following it being identified as the presidential league project in 2007. Also on that same page, we're indicating just the importance of the program within the scope of education in the country, particularly with regard to the creation of safe learning and appropriate learning environment within the school's culture. A very important table on the next page, page 3 of the document, where we outline as of 2006, this is the latest date, page 3 on your document, this is the latest date that the Department of Education undertook, you could call it a research or a determination of the state of affairs with regard to unsafe schools in the country. You would note from that table that Eastern Cape in particular had the highest number of mud, stroke, clay structures sitting at 1,652. However, if you look at other provinces, you would note that there was also a prevalence of either metal, prefabricated, or wood structure. This is the backlog as it stands. Indications by the National Department of Education is that they will update this by year 2012. So we will see how much has government dented or dealt with this backlog by year 2012. Because over the years, a lot of work has happened in this regard. Still on page 3, we're indicating that the public works, the IDT, over the last 4 years has worked extensively within the school's program in general, with 1,224 schools project to the value of 2 billion and 244 mass schools to the value of 896 million. But the next table, the following page, actually presents a table on your document about the expenditure over the years. This is on page 4. We're providing two tables, and we're indicating on that page 4 that in the broader schools program, the IDT has worked in over 1,500 schools, and in the MAD schools program has worked in 244 schools. And on those, on that page, page 4, we're outlining the expenditure that the organization has incurred on an annual basis for the last 3 years. Again, you would note that the Eastern Cape and the KZN region on the broader schools program have been the provinces that have had the highest engagement of the IDT. On the mass schools, you would also note that the Eastern Cape, as well as the KZN, followed by the Northwest, in the breakdown of the 896 million, have had a higher engagement of the IDT than other regions. On page 4 of the report, Chair, we're providing a table about the resources that National Treasury allocated to the program in 2008 and 2009, over the MTF period ending 2010 and 11. You would see there that significant resources in the amount of 2.7 billion were availed to the program over the 3 year period. And out of that, IDT was specifically appointed in 5 provinces to the tune of about 550 million if you combine the 2009-10 financial year with up to the 2010-11 financial year. There's also an indication of the number of schools that IDT was involved with, specifically within the 2.7 billion project. In other words, the other table, which was on page 4, was outlining in total the schools project that the IDT is involved with. The next table on page 4 still was specifically within MAD schools. Note, Chair, that the MAD schools program has not only been funded out of the 2.7 billion that National Treasury availed. In other words, the work that IDC did on page 4 of 896 million reflects both the programs that were funded out of the 2.7 billion additional grants, as well as programs that were funded by the provinces in the eradication of mass schools. If we then move to the next page, page 6, we are outlining in the document some of the progress attained out of a specific investment by the IDT starting from 2008 and 9, where the IDT set aside an amount of 150 million to initiate the program right at the inception of the program. And we're indicating that out of that project, out of that funding, we actually had about 39 projects, including both schools and ablution facilities in certain provinces. In the Free State in particular, the province had indicated that they had less challenges with schools but more challenges with ablution facilities and schools. We're indicating a number of projects, 28 projects, 1,600 jobs that have been created there. But also in the program, we also provided furniture to 14 schools. We also did IT labs for 7 schools, provided solar power to 2 schools, and wastewater treatment to 14 schools as part of that 150 million intervention. This included 19 schools and 20 ablution facilities in total. We're also indicating on that same page, page 4, that recently we are working with the National Department of Public Works in its contribution to the program, moved by a request from COGDA for the department to assist in schools that were affected by the natural disaster, and also out of its desire to support the eradication of mud and inappropriate structures, the department from its capital works program allocated around 110 million for this program. 10 schools were identified in the Eastern Cape, and 2 schools were identified in the Northwest. These schools were recently announced, or work in this program was recently announced by our minister. The methodology used in this specific program is the alternative construction methodologies, and we've highlighted there on page 6 that the 3 methodologies that we're piloting include the light weight steel frame covered cement sheet, soil cement block, single story building, as well as the light gauge steel structure. All of these tests have been certified by Agriment South Africa and meet the standards of the SABS. On the next page, page 8, we are highlighting that further resources have been allocated to the program. Page 7. That further resources have been allocated to the program, which is something we welcome, by the National Department of Education. They have been allocated 8.2 billion in the for the MTF period starting from 2011-12 to 2013-14. Out of that, 700 million has been allocated for the 2011-12 financial year. 60% of that has been, an indication is made by the department that it will be allocated to the Eastern Cape, which will be 420 million, specifically to the mud and inappropriate structures, and the remaining 40% allocated to other provinces for the basic services infrastructure. The overall program, affectionately referred to as ACD, Accelerated Schools Infrastructure Delivery Initiative, seeks to eradicate and replace the 395 mud schools in the Eastern Cape, to provide water and sanitation facilities to 1,307 schools, sanitation to 536 schools, and electricity to 1,404 schools.
this is a much welcome program and is a continuation, one could say, of the availing of dedicated resources to this priority following the allocation in the 2007, in the 2008 and 2009 of the 2.7 billion project. On the last page, Chair, we're indicating some of the challenges that are experienced in the program in general. The first challenge we're highlighting is that the institutional arrangements in the program compromise accountability for the program. The National Department of Public Works is often seen as the accountable department for the program, yet resources for the program go to the provincial departments of education. And in a number of instances, some of the provincial DOEs would not even engage the provincial DPWs to roll out the program. Therefore, the issue of holistic reporting on the program becomes complex, because in certain instances, the Department of Education would use even private sector companies. In a number of instances, of course, they would use the Department of Public Works, and still in certain instances would use state entities like the IDT or the GUHA and the Eastern Cape. Therefore, the reporting on the program on a consolidated fashion becomes complicated. We're also indicating that while the allocation of the 8.2 billion to the program is much welcomed, it also does not resolve the issue of the compromise and accountability. The resources now have been allocated to the National Department of Education, which will operate as an executing authority. Now, that, in a sense, continues with the challenges with regard to the role that would be played either by provincial DOEs or provincial DPWs or national DPW beyond participation and supporting the program. Because in a sense, you're beginning to have a number of institutions that drive the actual implementation of the program, which complicates the collation of information with regard to how much progress has been attained in the program. For the 2.7 billion program in 2008, the IDT was designated at the joint MINMEC Education and Public Works as the preferred implementing agent. As we've indicated on page 5 of the report, IDT has been involved to the tune of about 550 million in the 2.7 billion specific budget as presented on page 5. Again, it was a difficult resolution in the sense that provincial departments of education still had a leeway or a decision to decide how they want to continue with the implementation of the program. Whilst we want to highlight that, it certainly does not mean that IDT was not engaged by provinces. You could say we were almost engaged by all provinces. However, specifically in the 2.7 billion program, our role was to the tune of about 500 million. If I step off the high-level institutional challenges of the program, at an operational level, one of the challenges that we have persistently struggled with, especially in the last 18 months, is the issue of the budget deficits and the effect they have had in the ability of government departments to avail committed funding for the project. This has consistently been prevalent in our environment, particularly the 2010 calendar year, and has had a huge effect in our ability to pay contractors in time. This problem was most prevalent in Eastern Cape, more than other regions, but we have seen it not only in Eastern Cape. I think we want to highlight that because with the desire to pay contractors, especially merchant contractors in time, this problem continues to affect us. We went, Chair, with over 70 to 80% emerging contractors. You know, you would only find that only in big projects like a hospital for 500 million or a court for 300 million, where even there we would be propagating for joint ventures. But largely, the 90% of the schools program would do through emerging contractors. That comes with inherent challenges, some of which entail the cash flow issues that they would have, some of which in certain senses, I must say, not prevalent. There would be quality issues, more so on grade 1 to 5. We have instituted a contractor development program as an institution, which focuses on emerging contractors, but has got an arm that targets specifically women contractors. And as we do so, some of the unintended and unfortunate implications are that we need to deal with quality issues whilst we empower the emerging contractors. We're presenting that not as a problem, but as an indication of an inherent challenge within the scope of our work. Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. Honourable Member, we've got 10 minutes to engage with this presentation. Can I allow members to engage? Honourable Madala will be followed by Honourable Munguni and Man Wan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the presentation. But my concern is this: the presentation is not quite clear to us, in the sense that we don't have the exact breakdown that where are these schools situated, where are these furniture, where the cost for the schools, electricity, sanitation, where. For instance, you mentioned that you got furniture, laboratories, but it's not clear where, in which provinces. That is important for us to know exactly. Also, the math school, I'm concerned because you only mentioned the Eastern Cape province. Yet, in other provinces, there are math schools, for instance, in KZN, in Kofo, you still find math schools in such areas. And again, I would like to know the challenges, one of the challenges you are mentioning, because in some schools, especially in the urban areas, you find that the water and sanitation is the responsibility of the municipality. Then also the building of schools, the Department of Education itself is taking upon themselves in such schools.
Mine is just the one project. CIDD is also involved in part of development initiative. Are you partnering with them to do that? Or another program separate? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just two points. One is about the payment of the emerging contractors. It is a real concern. Because I even mentioned in the EPWP that in the end they die because of the non-payment from our own department. My second one is about the planning session or the engagement with the sister department on this, especially the education department. To me, it looks like it's done haphazardly. There's no proper planning. As a result, these other departments end up dumping whatever funds they have. They do the fiscal dumping to IDT. Like we indicated before, as this portfolio committee, what we are saying, we would like to work together with the department. If really this happens, we also have access to the Department of Education. If we can sit down together and do the planning, because if you don't plan properly together, it will end up being done haphazardly, and at the end of the day, you don't achieve anything.
That's why we say we want to assist as much as possible as the portfolio committee.
Thank you. Thank you. May you please respond?
Chairperson, thank you.
Yes, my name is Abdul. No, thank you very much. Thanks for the presentation. I concur with the colleagues to say that you must get the indication where they are. But also, you raised the issue of ablution facilities. Chair, we were at Mthatha in the area called Mkrekezweni. It's terrible, there are no ablution facilities at school. It's terrible. I think we are still having a challenge, Chair. I want to check also, I wanted to talk to this thing of coordinated planning with this sister department or integrated development planning together. There has been an outcry that the mandate of the department is compromised and also the department has no say when it comes to the appointment of service providers. To do, you know, around this particular issue in one of the documents. I wanted to get a clear clarity, Honorable Chair, to say that when there is a planning for a project, don't you sit together all the relevant stakeholders and plan together so that you can be in a position to raise the challenges, you know, that you have experienced so that in future we prevent those particular challenges. Maybe if it is not happening, because Chair, I will always ask, what is the role of this department? Performance planning, you know, monitoring and evaluation, in all these things, because to me, seemingly, it's like the department are still working in silos. There is no coordinated effort for them to plan together. In particular, the Department of Public Works, I think they are the victims, because they are like coordinating. And if those particular departments are not really working with the Department of Public Works, they will always have those particular problems. Maybe it's time maybe to say that the Department of Performance Planning Monitoring and Evaluation maybe coordinate these people together so that a person that will have a say, because they are at an equal status, you know. When you call, you need information, maybe it's not coming. I'm not sure whether it's like that, Chair. But, you know, we are frustrated all the time with departments working in silos, and then we don't get the intended product that we are awaiting. Thank you. Honorable Dolan?
Yeah, Chair, I think the hot conditions we're experiencing here is good for us to understand the hot schools. Sometimes there would be winds blowing through them that would be nicer than our conditions, but we know... There are certain storm days there that it must be terrible, like we're experiencing. I just one quick thing. Is this program in the final analysis only about replacement, or does planning come into play that needs shifted? You know, I just want some indication on the practical implications. That you have to keep a school going and then build another one. And I pick up from IDT some frustration that you don't have the final say, that this is done by provinces and you just have to execute. So just, if you can just unpack, you know, something about that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Member, may you please respond,
Chair? Yes. Chair, thank you. This is a bit of a difficult or challenge for the Department of Public Works. One, in terms of our mandate, the provincial Department of Public Works have a mandate to provide accommodation to provincial departments, and therefore, by implication, it should mean that they are responsible for developing infrastructure for the Department of Education. In a couple of years ago, when this program started, we had a joint session through our MINEC and heads of department forums where we were planning and would have a joint MINEC with the Department of Education to plan. But in terms, as Mr. Wakaba has said, in terms of the 2.5 billion,
the Department of Public Works is not involved. We have an understanding that the Department of Education is building its own capacity, and therefore they've done their plans to be able to implement the program. They will, I assume, as they're doing with the IDT, appoint implementing agents as and when they are required. As again was presented, the additional 12 schools that were mentioned, this is the not part of the 2.7 billion. This is public works budget. It was both an intervention in terms of heavy rains, especially in the Eastern Cape, but the other schools in the Northwest, they were part of the broader program. So on some of the questions, we will not have the information because the information will sit with the Department of Education, but specifically on the projects that we are dealing with as public works, will respond to that, and certainly as our entity on projects that are assigned to IDT as an implementing agent, will be able to provide the committee with all the information required, which will add on other questions that have been raised.
Thank you. Tim, yes, there are mass schools in all other provinces. Hence, on page 3 of the presentation, we've indicated just a table that provides the status of the backlog. But as of then, this is what will be updated by the Department of Education by 2012. Hence, the 8.2 billion seeks to eradicate them across the country. Eastern Cape just happened to have a bigger backlog than other provinces, which is why out of the 700 million allocation for this year, it was prioritized to take 60% of the budget. But moving forward, other provinces are part of that. The 8.2 billion also seeks to address basic services infrastructure in schools, which talks about sanitation, water, and electricity, not just the mass schools. We are working in partnership with CIDP. CIDP is a sister organization with one family in public works. Our contractor development program has been modeled from their frameworks. They were mandated by DPW MINMEC to lead that work. So what we do is to simply take the frameworks from them and utilize them in the contractors that we employ as IDT in our programs. But yes, we are working with them. Planning is a challenge in the sense that the various departments of education decide where to build the school. Supposedly there's a planning that they do where they would look at issues of migration, population, and put schools where they project population is migrating towards. They would use the same data to decide on the size of the school. Should it be a 200 learner or 1,000 learner school? But there have been reported problems to that. There have been instances where communities would fail to understand why a school is built here and not there. And yes, there is a challenge in the sense that we get instructed to build a school and they help with that aspect of we've noted the desire to provide more information in terms of sites, not just to say 10 schools in the Eastern Cape, but to say in this village. I think we've noted that as an important factor in our presentation. I think those were the questions.
Thank you very much for the responses. Honourable members, I think we have come to the end of the... Honourable, my apologies. No one, I'm sorry, ma'am.
That's it was just a follow-up question on Ms. Pickett about, if I got it correctly, she said before we used to have minutes and reports from the provincial department. It's just what's happening now. Do you still have the minutes? And then how binding are the reports you get there and the programs you see? Are you able to monitor those programs as the Department of Public Works?
Thank
thanks to you, Chair. We do have MINMEC. We discuss our programs broadly throughout our activities as Sister Department of Public Works. Specifically, the MINMEC that we have in trying to plan for the schools was really to say, as the national and provincial departments of public works, how do we contribute to the schools building, especially the eradication of mass schools? Part of whose report has been covered in our report here. But we're saying, as going forward, the Department of Education seems to have their plans to implement, and again, they may use certain agencies like IDC. But otherwise, in general, as the public works family, we do have MINMEC.
Thank you. Honourable members, before dispensing, for next week portfolio committee, we are going to deal with a progress report on financial performance and matters raised by the AG in 2010. That's what we're going to deal with next week. And the issues that were raised by the DG, you know them. Reconciliation was not done. Regular asset count, not done. Leasing of accommodation, no capacity to identify unutilized buildings. Rates and taxes control, procurement. Human resource project plan not measured. All those things were raised by the Auditor General. And we like the acting DG to be here to come and respond to those issues. And we're expecting before 1 o'clock on Friday, that will be the latest. We'll be expecting presentation to be in our pigeon holes or to be in our offices. Should a mistake occur, Honorable Mass, let me tell them, if you are going to distribute e-presentations Tuesday morning, you will be turned back to Pretoria, and that will be a fruitless expenditure. Let's agree right now. But for us, we need to go through those presentations so that we can be able to come and engage. Thank you very much. The meeting is closed. At Public Works, you are accompanying us to Brand Flame. Because we don't want to get there and answers not be responded to. How you will get there at Public Works, you know, you have got transport to take you there. Let's go there. Lydia, if you don't want to go as a group, can you identify 2 or 3, those who will be able to respond to what is going to be raised there? Thank you very much. Thanks for everything.
What?
Sorry, can you
I don't know, we didn't go to this hearing that was, I don't know if it was unveiled or whatever by the deputy president.
It went well. I was not there, but the report I received that it went very well.
What is the status? Is it finished?
No. This is a school that will be.
So
out of the allocation,
I know that, but there was a hope at some point that maybe by the time the president said it will be finished, but it hasn't yet.
No, it actually was decided that way.
Oh, okay.
I know, Minister, when I remember a few weeks ago, it was decided the same week that the deputy was attending, was the same week when the president was attending. Yeah. But it was unveiled as a school that will be happening.
The second one, how is it going this year
with the
others?
It's going very well. Last week, for example, was with our people in the Eastern Cape. We were doing stakeholder management. Especially so we were meeting with Springsbank, the community, our people. No. We actually had our people coming to visit to see the recovery of the Cape Town.
Okay.
In a respectable look.
Okay, Sabonana.
In a respectable look. In a respectable look. But Namke was in Safun Ventos Bonella. Namke was in Babuza, Namke was confirmed by Sandy Preferred Yao Sonda Alisa. But no, they were very comfortable, but in a respectable
look. And it's your record.
It's your record. But Gewe, too, I love. If we wanted somebody brave to learn, so I'm excited about it. And I think 12 schools is not over.
So
if one is piloting,
so
I think it's going to be a catalyst moving forward. To what extent do we use this? The also good thing is that we're doing three types. Which is also good too.
We
and
have
as we're doing,
contractors.
Yeah, we've got Vuyo Group. These are the guys. I don't know. How can I put it? I do not know their background. Good few of them have been working on this. We've got Vuyo Group and also. I do not know these guys. Apparently a joint venture between Black and White, whether it's a permanent joint venture, the only one is very small portion was one to see how to among the who will be trying to program I hope so. So far, I've got a couple concerns on that thing. And then I've got two
concerns.
By April. You plan by many of you.
Okay.
Plan is to finish by April.
In some of you talk about here, it says value as the Eastern Cape transaction so that I can go and look at that even before
we end up now. We need to do this, we'll be calling Haki,
manager.
No, that's fine. I think I'm very keen band use bona le site kungabanze kwaxesha because ngimake ngiyobona na bayenze kwenye indawo
manje abakwenzele lapho
abadenza kambe. In fact our site visits was here so that this is born there. Because really, I mean, part of the, again, my you know, keenness is that when this thing ends by April, it's good because it's manageable. Then,
I will from time to time ask for
the
one month. Yeah, Usala.
Oh.
Yeah.
between Kumasong and the Nipping and Kilomo, it's a million and a half for the Nipping. Hey, I'm going to
ask you.
Do you have Mambi? Soup? I'll tell you.
Mandela and so forth, to the political office.
I'm Okay, good to that.